morning. It's good to see each of you here this morning in the Lord's house. What we used to say in school, we're all in our places with nice shiny faces. Is that what? And it's good to see all the smiles and the laughter and the joy and the fellowship that we share. Continue to be in prayer for those that are sick and those that couldn't be with us. We welcome those here in the sanctuary, those in the parking lot, and those that are listening to the web later in the day. May each person get the blessing that the Lord wants to give you. Not the blessing I might want to give you, the blessing the Lord wants to give you. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we bow before you in awesome wonder, worship, and praise. For there is none other like you, there is none other but you. Every knee bows and every tongue confesses that Jesus is Lord. And that brings glory to you, God the Father. Oh, we praise you and we worship you today. We honor you as our King, our Lord, our God. We thank you for our salvation. We thank you for every blessing of life that's ours. We thank you for the strength that you give us through the Holy Spirit. We thank you for your precious word that teaches us your truths. We want you to know, Father, that you're welcome. Welcome in this place today. Welcome to speak to our hearts. Lord, we want to have listening ears, spiritual listening ears. Hearts that are open to your truths. Lord, we thank you that you care about us, that every need that we have concerns you as well as us. Thank you that you love us so much that you want to meet those needs, and you proved that when you gave us Jesus, and you said if you give us Jesus, everything else is a piece of cake. Thank you for Jesus. Lord, we do love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ed, and good morning, everybody. It's good to see you this morning. Always a pleasure to be able to be in the Lord's house and be able to sing his praises and to worship. And that's what we're here to do today. As we always do, let's have a hymn sing this morning, one that we've not sang in quite a while. This is Grace Greater Than Our Sin, and this is page 329, for those of you who want the books, otherwise it's on the wall. Let's all stand, please. Let's sing all three verses together.
Grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt, yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Great.
Everybody said, amen. Welcome someone this morning. Oh, I love to hear that fellowshipping. That's good stuff. We may just take them half time, half a day one day and do that. What do you think, Pastor? What do you think how that might work? Anyway, I've got some good news for you. I made the announcements this morning. Jeff, you want to go ahead and get that up there first? Thank you, sir. We have a newborn to talk about. It's a boy, Carter Douglas Honeycutt. He's born, now that's Miss Christine's great-grandson, okay? July the 23rd, 2022, at 8 pounds and 4 ounces. Quite a young boy, quite a big boy. 21 inches long. Proud parents, Zach and Cindy Honeycutt, and proud brothers, William and Joshua Honeycutt. Proud grandparents, Ron and Christy Honeycutt, and proud grandparent, Christine Sasser. Congratulations to the family. God bless. Absolutely. All right, and there's some announcements I want to share with you here. We'll begin on the... First, let me remind you, Wednesday night, we are here, and we're here every Wednesday night. The pastor here in his place. You need to be here in yours and come and be part of it. We have a great time of Bible study. Keep that in mind. All right, deacon election. Deacon election is going to begin here on August the 17th. And Jeff has asked me, and he's in the bulletin too, to make sure that you, if you're here, that the list was passed out last week. We still got them down here in front of the eligible men. And if your name's on there and you don't want it to be, you need to let Mr. Jeff or someone know here by the end of this month. Right, Jeff? Yes, sir. Okay, so be sure you do that because we'll vote on August the 17th. Sunday, August the 21st, my eyes are not working this morning. We'll be homecoming, and we are glad to tell you that we're going to have Brother Jesse Herring, Pastor Red Cross, will be here. And Brother Jesse, as you know, was a member here back in his youth and his younger days. He was certainly a member here, and we love Brother Jesse and looking forward to him being here and sharing with us. We also will have a covered dish meal. Some people ask about that. Are we going to do that? Yes, we will have a covered dish meal afterwards, okay? And then don't forget the area-wide revival, September the 5th and through the 9th and 12th through the 16th, Stanley County Fairgrounds, Highway 52 South with Reverend Ralph Sexton, and they will be sponsored by the many churches in Stanley and Montgomery counties. All right, any other announcements that I need to share? Okay, Miss Rita would like the building and grounds to meet with her right after service. So before you go there, come here, and Rita will have some things for you, okay? Anybody else? All right, and that be the case. Well, let's go now to our prayer request this morning. This morning we still want to remember Tony and Ruth. We have updates for you on both. Ruth is still in the hospital. And she's still dealing with potassium and sodium issues. Her potassium had bottomed out. I talked with Tony yesterday, and then of course Miss Rosina brought us up to date this morning too. But we need to remember Ruth. She's still fighting the battle, but she's doing some better. But she's still sick. And just remember Tony. Rosina shared with us this morning that Tony had some issues too when he got home. He was out mowing, and Rosina said he woke up and. He passed out after he finished mowing. So he's got some issues, still weakness. So let's remember Brother Tony as well there as well. All right. Anyone else this morning? Yes.
My brother-in-law, Rick Carpenter, is going to have surgery on his neck tomorrow.
Rick Carpenter. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Gotcha.
So if y'all would just pray for him.
That's Rick Carpenter surgery. Okay. Yes, Janice? Okay.
He came home yesterday, and his lungs are clear, and I thank you all for prayers, because God is with him all the time, so thank you.
So good to hear, Janice. So good to hear that he's home. All right, anyone else? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we are indeed thankful for this day. this special Lord's Day you've given us, Lord, to be in the house of the Lord. And Lord, to be able to be in your house and worshiping your name. And Lord, we do thank you for the many blessings. Before we ask you for anything, we thank you. We always thank you. Be of thankful hearts. Help us, Lord, to have servant hearts, Lord, as well, and be able to serve each other and to work with each other in love. And Lord, now we ask a special blessing upon our service today as we go forward in our service today. And before we do that, Lord, we want to lift up some special prayer requests. Tony and Ruth Eford, Lord, we pray for them as Ruth is convalescing, and then as Tony is getting stronger, we need to pray for them. We need to pray for Rick Carpenter for surgery, Lord, as he is going to be. And then, Lord, our praise report, we're glad to hear that Jacob is at home and doing well, Lord. We lift up, we ask, Lord, that you can keep him strong, Lord, and be with him and continue with the healing process that he is going through. Now, Lord, we ask a special blessing as Pastor Ed comes today, Lord, and preaches to us. And in our time of praise, as Miss Pam will come and share with us, Lord, we ask a blessing upon her. Again, Lord, we ask you to be with us throughout this rest of the service, Lord, and we'll give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise. In this blessings I ask in your name. Amen. Now we'll ask Miss Pam if she will come and share with us with our praise music this morning. Miss Pam.
Thought for our praise music, I might would repeat one that we did a few weeks ago because I want us to learn them so that we can sing them eventually without the words. This is one that I've loved for several years. I've known the chorus part. Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds, and nothing I desire compares with you. A lot of times I sing this to the Lord out of my heart when I'm worshiping him at home. The second verse I didn't know until I started practicing with this, but it says, who can weigh the value of knowing you? Who can judge the worth of who you are? Who can count the blessings of loving you? Who can say just how great you are? And this morning in Sunday school, we had Luke 10:27. I want to read you that verse in the Passion Translation. This is what Jesus was talking to the religious leader about. That the Old Testament says, in the Passion Translation, it says, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your passion, with all your energy, and your every thought. If we love God that passionately, we would be experiencing more of his presence in our lives. Because God wants our love more than he wants anything from us. He created us to have fellowship. That's why he created Adam and Eve, for fellowship. And then sin got in the way. But if we will spend more time worshiping him, more time praising him, then his spirit will be poured out in our lives, because that's when he comes. It's when we praise him. So I would like to challenge you to spend more time in praise this coming week. Thank you. Yes. Please stand.
Precious than Nothing I desire compares with you. And who can weigh the value of knowing you? Oh, who can judge the worth of who you are? Lord, who can count the blessing of loving you? Who can say just how great you are? How great you are.
Just thinking this morning that if someone offered me $1 million or $1 billion to deny my Lord, I wouldn't take it, and I'm sure you wouldn't either.
Amen. Thank you, Pam. All right, children, you are dismissed. We all used to be that bouncy, didn't we? Some of you still are. Yeah. And for a few, the elasticity is diminished a little. You know, a few weeks ago, if you were driving through our community, around about the church and toward Oakboro and other which direction, you'd have seen people out in the fields with balers putting together bales of hay. Others with combines taking in the wheat. A few weeks from now, they'll be back out in the fields making that second cutting of hay, combining corn, soybeans, cotton. Because when the fields have a harvest, we need to get it in. Over the last couple of weeks, I've been talking to some folks, and one of the ladies I was talking to, she was canning beets. Another lady I was talking to, I know she's already canned over 5 bushels of green beans and over 5 boxes of tomatoes. And she's had to take a break because she's having trouble with the pressure pump on her well, and so pressure tank. And so she, until she can get that fixed, she said she had to take a break, but she'll go right back to canning as soon as she gets her tank fixed. Another family I was talking to, it's something different every day. It may be blueberries, it may be green beans, it may be zucchini, it may be yellow squash, it may be kale, it may be spinach, but they're always got something going. And you know, the weather doesn't really stop you much. If it gets to be 95 or 100 degrees, you just go out earlier in the day and then wait and pick a little bit later. And some things, it doesn't matter if it's raining. I was thinking about, as I think about the message this week, I had a memory. Not a very pleasant one, but I had a memory. We went to Spartanburg, Inman, South Carolina, to pick peaches, which we did 3 to 5 days a week. And for some reason, Daddy didn't go, which meant I was in charge. And we got out there and started picking, and it went to raining. I don't mean a little. It went to raining. In fact, when we went back the next day to pick, the orchard owner said that according to his gauge, it had rained 5 inches of rain while we picked peaches. Remnants of a hurricane came through. Well, after about 50 or 60 bushels, we were soaked. And it wasn't a full load, but I went home. I knew if I went home without peaches, I'd have been in deep trouble. But it didn't matter how much it was raining. We were going to get some peaches before we left that orchard, before we left South Carolina. You see, when you've got the harvest coming, it has to be harvested before it's too late. Now, I want us to look at 2 passages of scriptures, and the first one just sort of in passing. Matthew 28, you know it well, the last few verses. Matthew 28, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now just keep that one in mind and really flip back to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. And beginning at verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every disease, sickness, and every disease among the people. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. Now notice the whole attitude of Jesus in this passage of Scripture. He says he went about all the villages preaching and teaching. In other words, he was not just jumping on people cold turkey, so to speak. He was giving them an opportunity to understand the principles, he said, the gospel of the kingdom. In other words, he was telling them everything they needed to know to have a right relationship with the Heavenly Father. He was teaching them, he was preaching to them, he was sharing with them the principles and the facts and the word that they needed to hear. Not only that, but he says he met their needs. He healed all manners of sickness and every disease among the people. Those that had need, Jesus met their need. You know, it's hard for somebody to listen to the gospel when they're in great pain. And we know at times Jesus fed them. It's hard to listen to the gospel when you're in great hunger. When you're in great need. You're so concerned about getting a meal or getting relief from the pain. That you sort of block out the gospel. So Jesus not only taught them, preached to them, he met their need. And then it says, he had compassion on them. He was moved with compassion. He cared. It bothered him inside. It touched his heart. He cared and loved them. He had compassion on the people because he says they were like sheep without a shepherd. They were just scattering around. They didn't understand what was going on. They didn't have a clue. And then he says to his disciples, the harvest is ripe. The harvest is ready. Go and reap the harvest. And pray for the Lord of the harvest to send forth more laborers into the harvest. And then it made reference in his Sunday school lesson to Jesus sending out the 70. Now before that, he sent out 12. And then the next go around, he sent out 70. To go into all the villages and communities around and share the good news of the kingdom. And so here he's saying, look, don't say, well, the harvest is coming later. He said, the harvest is now. The harvest is ripe now. Pray for laborers. People who will go and reap that harvest. And then, you know, the scripture we began with there in Matthew 28, as Jesus prepares to ascend back into heaven, he says to his disciples, you need to go. Teach, preach, make disciples. Baptize. Now, you know, with natural crops, whether it's wheat or corn or green beans or whatever, there's an urgency to reap the harvest when it's ripe. Is there an urgency for us to reap the harvest of souls that are all around us? Statistically, if you walk into Walmart and there's 10 people in line in front of you, 6 of them are going to hell. 6 of them are unsaved. Now, in actuality, they may all be believers, may not be, and the next 10 may all be unbelievers, but statistically, about 40% of the North Carolinians know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That means all around us, there's a harvest. All around us, there are people that don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And church attendance, unfortunately, has got even worse. People who say they're Christian but don't bother to go to church anywhere, hardly ever. We used to joke about the Christmas and Easter Christians. You remember those? You remember those jokes? Well, it really wasn't a joke. It was sad. But now even folks that don't even go Christmas and Easter. There's a harvest of people all around us. And do we have an urgency? Do we have an urgency? Now, what happens if we don't have an urgency? Well, some of those folks will grow senile. And at that point, it's pretty hopeless to talk with them. One of the things that's always frustrated me as a pastor is for somebody to say, I've got a relative, they're in ICU and they're unconscious. Would you go lead them to Jesus? little bit late for that now. I will go and see if I can get any response from them, but it's a little bit late now that they're unconscious. If we have no urgency, sooner or later, some of them will die. They'll die without Jesus. If we have no urgency, we may be the one that gets too feeble to go. Now, right now, when we're all up around and running, we think, won't happen. But you know, it does every day. We may die before we reach somebody. Or they may move away. They may grow more hard-hearted and unreachable. I haven't seen a chart like this in a long time, but it goes something sort of like this. From about age 8 to up about 12 or 13, it's an ascendancy toward getting saved. But from then, it just turns over and goes downhill fast. That the older a person gets unsaved, the less likely they are to get saved. Doesn't mean it's impossible. I know some 75-year-olds that got saved. Praise the Lord for that. But the older a person gets, the more likely it is they won't be saved. And if we have no urgency, some of these folks will be reached by cults. Ungodly groups, unchristian groups, heathen groups. Do we have an urgency? I want you to keep this in mind and turn with me back over into the book of Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Verse 23 and 24. Children of Israel are about to go into the promised land. Verse 23, then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and ye shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. Every place wherein the soles of your foot shall tread shall be yours, from the wilderness of Lebanon, from the river of Euphrates, even into the uttermost sea shall your coast be. What'd God say? God says, you are going to be able to drive out nations that are stronger than you are. You're going to be able to take land from people that are much more powerful than you, because I will drive them out with you. Then he says, every place you put your foot will be yours. Now think about that. Every place you don't put your foot won't be yours. Think about it. You know, sometimes if you go to the movie theater about 9-ish at night, over here there'll be a stream of people coming out, and over here will be a stream of people going in for the late show. One in and one out. If you were flying a helicopter over Israel back in the days of Joshua, you would not have seen the wagon train of Israelites coming in this side of the country, and the Hittites, Hivites, Jebusites, Perizzites, and all those otherites going out the other side. They didn't pack up their wagons and leave just because they saw the Israelites coming. They got in their fortified cities and locked the door. Israel had to go in and possess the land. They couldn't just say, well, we come across the Jordan River, we're going to sit here and watch all those folks abandon everything. Didn't happen. Wasn't ever going to happen that way. Israel had to put their feet to the ground to claim that promised land. Now, in the natural, that's the way it is. Now, you think about the opening illustrations. You can sit on your front porch in your rocking chair and drink iced tea from now until Jesus comes, and that won't ever fill up your pantry with green beans. You've got to either can them or go to the store and buy them or go to somebody else that canned them and get them. A farmer could sit on his front porch all day and drink iced tea, and that I won't ever put a grain of corn in one of those grain bins. Somebody's got to get out there in that field with a combine and do it. In the natural, it takes work to reap a harvest. In the scripture, Israel had to put their feet all over the promised land to claim the promised land. Now, as he promised the Israelites, my power is going to do for you what you can't do for yourself because you're too weak and puny. And as Jesus promised his disciples, which includes you and me, in Matthew 28, I go with you, my power goes with you. What did he say? All power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Now you go. You go in that power. Our witness to the harvest that is ripe is in the power of God. Well, guess what? Just as it sitting on the porch doesn't fill the grain bin or the pantry, sitting in the church doesn't fill the church. Amen. Sitting in the church doesn't fill the church. Now I realize once in a while somebody will drive by and say, isn't that a cute little church? I believe I'll visit there. And they'll pop in for a visit. Once in a while, somebody will say, you know, I'm really disappointed in the church that I've been attending. It's just not preaching the gospel. I believe I'll try somewhere else. And they'll show up. But those are once in a whiles. Most of the people that come are come because somebody reap the harvest. Let's talk about us. Do we have any sense of urgency? Do we have a sense of urgency? Is God pleased with our efforts? Now I know, again, in the Sunday school lesson, Leonard mentioned visitation programs, and those are good, but the real thing is that all of you, all of us, have contacts. It may be family, it may be friends, it may be co-workers, it may be neighbors. It may be casual people we run across. Do we need to share Jesus? Or we need to share invitations to church? Now don't raise your hand, because I don't want to embarrass anybody. How many of us have invited one person to church in the last month? How many of us have talked to one unsaved or backslidden person in the last month? Only you can answer that, you and the Lord. You know. And I'm basically a shy person, but I'm learning that sometimes when there's only one clerk in a business and it's just me and that clerk, if I'll ask the right questions, they'll open up and tell me some things. Just this week, this lady was telling me what a her trouble her son in the military how hard they're working him, and they don't have enough help to do what they're doing. And she just opened up. Now, she'd opened up about a month ago, 6 weeks ago, and so I could lead in. I said, well, how's your son? And she opened up again. And 6 weeks or so ago, she was telling me what a jerk her daughter was dating. And so this time I just said, your daughter's still dating that same guy?
Yeah.
You know, but there's opportunities all around us. How much of a sense of urgency do we have? Is God pleased with our efforts? Let me sing you a song. There's a song that I'm not going to sing it, but I'm going to read some of the words. That somehow or another has just been rolling through my mind ever since I started thinking about this message. And I can't remember the last time I heard a church sing it. And I assume it's in your hymn book, but I know it in the old Baptist hymnal. Work for the night is coming. Remember that song? Work for the night is coming. Work through the morning hours. Work while the dew is sparkling. Work mid springing flowers. Work when the day goes brighter. Work in the glowing sun. Work for the night is coming when man's work is done. Work for the night is coming. Work in the summer sunny noon. Fill the brightest hours with labor. Rest comes sure and soon. Give every flying minute something to keep in store. Work for the night is coming when man works no more. Work for the night is coming under the sunset skies. While their bright tents are glowing, work for daylight flies. Work for the best, work till the last beam fadeth to shine no more. Work while the night is darkening, when man's work is o'er. Well, you know, I flipped open my copy of the hymn book to make a copy so I could run it off and read it to you. And lo and behold, on the next page, I saw another song. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. Or mountains, or plain, or sea. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord. I'll be what you want me to be. Now, those two songs together ought to challenge us. Work. There's coming a time when the work's over. I know some of you know my brother does a lot of gardening, and this time of year, usually it's about 9:30 when I call him and I say something about, did the Lord turn out the lights? Are you in the house? And most of the time he is, after the Lord turned out the lights. In other words, it gets dark. And he has to come in from the garden. Do we have a sense of urgency? Jesus said the fields are white unto harvest. The fields are white unto harvest. It's not that there are no lost people around. I remember when I was in Siler City, we had a new preacher come to town. And he said he was looking for a challenge. He was in some little mountain cove somewhere up in the mountains. And he said, we got everybody in the cove saved but three people. So we didn't have but three unsaved people left in the whole cove. He said, I'm looking for a new challenge. So he moved to Siler City to one of the churches there. Wouldn't it be great to say there's not an unsaved person within 2 miles of Barber's Grove Baptist Church? It'd be great to say that. Do we even know? Do we care? Jesus had a sense of compassion for the fields that were white to harvest. your individual efforts. We could do a visitation program and get maybe some success, but your individual witness all over the community will make more difference than you can imagine. In a couple of weeks, we'll be having homecoming. And one of the things, if your homecoming's like, if you are like I am at homecoming, we get to thinking about the people that aren't there. The ones that have gone on before us, the ones that have passed away. And we look forward to seeing them again in the great homecoming in the sky. Wouldn't it be great if we can have more that would later say, in later homecoming, say, I miss that person, they led me to Jesus. I miss that person, they got me involved in church. I miss that person because they were an example, a godly example in my life. One more song. Will the circle be unbroken by and by? Will the circle be unbroken in the sky? What about your family circle? Everybody saved or not? What about your friendship circle? Everybody saved or not? What about your acquaintance circle? Everybody saved or not? Jesus said the fields are white to harvest. Plenty of harvest. Where are the reapers? Oh, I just thought of another song. Lord, your table is full, but the fields are empty. Who will go and work today? Who will go and work today? I challenge you. Allow the Lord to make you a reaper of a field that's white to harvest, that we call the Barbies Grove community of Stanley County, of North Carolina, of the United States. Bow your heads, close your eyes for just one moment. As I've shared this morning, is there somebody that needs to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? If you would, just come down the aisle right now. And I'll meet you there. But as I preach this morning, for all of us who are believers, how did you answer that question? Have you spoken to somebody in the last month? Could you check off and say yes, or was it a no? As I've shared this morning, as the Holy Spirit brought to mind somebody that you've been needing to speak to, but you just keep putting it off and putting it off, and you feel convicted, would you make a commitment to the Lord today to do your best to invite them to church or to share Jesus with them? Just remember, it's not how strong you are, how wise you are. It's how powerful your God is. And He's going to be with you, in you, speaking through you as you share. Father God, we thank you for giving us eyes to see the harvest. To see the peaches on the tree that are ripe right now. The individuals that are just ready to come into the kingdom of God. Father,
Thank you that we don't have to do it alone, but we do it through your power. Thank you for your love for us. And thank you for your love for others. Help us, Lord, to realize that our neighbors, to be the good Samaritan to our neighbors, we need to tell them about Jesus. Now may the Lord keep you, the Lord bless you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you and give you peace. In the strong, wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.